Study Day Torah Meister Yud Tes Adar Aleph Tovshin Ein Tes Rabbi David Eisenberg.
Ready?
Yeah, good. Okay. Good morning. Today, we'll see what we'll manage. I'd like to discuss two shailas. I'll give you the option which one of the two we will start with. In Rabbonus, you often get interesting shailas, and whilst I don't get as many shailas as many of the other Rabbonim, but probably some of my shailas are a little bit more out of the box. As I've said here before, that Rabbi Yashiv said before the Kiruv movement came around, it was starting to become boring to be a Rav. I left out Mashav Och Moed Hageshem. I didn't say Yalla V'Yavoy. What's considered Boyer on Shabbos? All those things are normal. And then comes a Baal Tshuva, and he throws the whole thing out of the water with a Shaila that comes from out of nowhere. So I had two Shailas this week. Are we?
Yeah.
I don't need it. If you want, I can just speak without it. Okay. So I had two Shailas that came up this week. I'm going to mention both Shailas. I'll ask you your opinion which one we'll start with, and we'll start with one of the two. Hopefully we'll get through both of them. Shaila number one. I mentioned this to Mike Kehillah yesterday already. Shaila number one. I have a cousin in Vienna who is making Bar Mitzvah Mirtz Hashem in August. And he calls me up. He says, we have a problem. We've hired a hall, and the hall that we've hired is a massive hall, few different parts to this hall. One chelik of the hall is going to be for the davening, and then another chelik of the hall is going to be for the kiddush, etc., etc. So the hall that we hired for the davening has seats screwed into the ground. It seems to be more of an auditorium than a hall. You mamish have these, I wonder if they're going to be couch-like, I don't know, we'll see when I get there, Mitzvah Shem, but they have these seats, they're screwed into the ground and immovable. So after hiring the hall, they decided, let's figure out what's which direction. So Baruch Hashem, with modern technology, all you need to do is you need to pull out your mobile phone and you pull open your compass app and you go and you start moving back and forth. They have a look. The seats are facing Maariv. The seats are facing west. Okay? So they came back to the company that they hired the hall from and said, would we be able to turn around the seats? I mean, how does it work? This is facing the wrong direction. We faced east in our prayers, and here you have seats facing west. Says the hall, let's have a look. They come back, they say, yeah, it'll cost you a couple or a few thousand euros to be able to do that, because the seats are literally screwed into the ground. We need to get people to come, to unscrew them, to lift them, to turn them, to bring them back, to put them exactly where they need to be, to screw them back into the ground. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous uproar. And therefore, in order to be able to make the whole hullabaloo happen, it's going to cost a lot of money. So for 2 or 3 thousand euros, no problem, we can change around the seats. So we're not going to spend 2 or 3 thousand euros just changing from Maariv to Mizrach. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. So, well, for some people it does. But, you know, but money doesn't grow on trees. So what do we do? So he calls me up and says, what do we do? Which direction do we daven? Do we daven west? Do we turn around? Do we daven east? Where do we put the Aron Kodesh? Shaila number one. Okay? Shaila number two, not an Arachaim Dike Shaila, maybe a bit of Arachaim Dike Shaila, but also a Shaila of Yeridea very much, is the following Shaila. I got a call from somebody last Sunday. Mazel Tov, Rabbi, we had a baby yesterday. I said, what time? 11:30 in the morning. Okay, definite Shabbos. No question about it. I said, that's lovely. So how are we doing with the bris? Yeah, the mother's going to come on Wednesday. He's going to tell us if we have a bris. We'll have a bris on Shabbos, Mr. Shem. How does that work? Can you have a bris on Shabbos? Of course you can have a bris on Shabbos, etc. Beautiful. So we're going to have a bris on Shabbos. And I said to him, you know, we've in the 80-some years that our shul has been open, we have never, ever had a bris on Shabbos there because there's not been an Eruv. So nobody's ever brought the child there. There have been bris before on Shabbos, but not on Shul. Be lovely to have the bris in Shul on Shabbos. Yeah, maybe we'll have the bris in Shul on Shabbos. Excitement, etc., etc. I get a call on Wednesday. Sorry, we don't know yet. We'll only know on Friday. Okay, well, on Friday. One day is enough. You don't need to know so much in advance for the bris. Comes Friday morning. I get a phone call from the Moel. Rabbi Yaakov Hibbert calls me up. He says, and I missed his phone calls. So he leaves me a message saying, call me back ASAP. Call him back. He says, I have an issue. I said, what's the issue? He says, well, the baby's ready. Bris can be tomorrow. Okay, bris can be tomorrow, so why don't we have a bris tomorrow? He says, the couple live in Radcliffe. I said, right. I said, so you're walking to Radcliffe. You know, you live in Whitefield. Radcliffe might not be so far. He goes, if that was the issue, we could manage that. Because he had another bris in Whitefield anyway. So I said, so what's the issue? He says, well, no, they want to have the bris in Prestwich. I said, okay. And he says, and you know and I know, they're not walking to Prestwich. That much I can tell you. I mean, when I spoke to the father also, he says, he's telling me this whole story. I was trying to get out of him. He goes, you know, after the bris, it's not so good because the child is in a car seat and the car seat is over the area where they've just had the bris, so the child could hurt themselves. I'm like, you know what? I can get you there are enough gemachen out there. I'll get you a flat-lying buggy if that's your issue. Well, you know, he starts draining themselves. Kids are Maisa driving. He's going to be driving on Shabbos. Okay? Do you say there's a din to make a bris bismanoi, and you chayv to make a bris bismanoi, and it doesn't make a difference whether the person will be driving or won't be making driving, that's not your cheshvin. So you might tell me, we've had this conversation already once, we've had a shir here, so, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, right before Shabbat UK, this week again, Shabbat UK, right before Shabbat UK, we had a shir about inviting people who would be mechalel Shabbos, who would drive to your house on Shabbos. So the question was, can you invite people on Shabbos if you know for sure they're going to drive to you from Shabbos? You're inviting a person from hell. Somebody who lives in hell and you invite them for a Friday night suda, you know and I know that even if they take the car on the way there and didn't drive to you there on Shabbos, they're not walking 4.5 hours back. Usually. And if you offer them a place to stay instead of walking 4.5 hours, they'll definitely take it. And if they're going back home that night, no, we're going back home, you know and I know they're not walking home. So that was the shaila then. So you say, okay, you want to invite someone for a Shabbos suda? Who asked you to invite someone for a Shabbos suda? So don't invite them for Shabbos Suda. You're going to make him miss out on maybe a chizuk that'll get... What should I say? In life it doesn't work that. You can't have your cake and eat it. But here already there's a mitzvah. So much so, it's doich Shabbos. So maybe, in this instance, you should make the bris. The fact that the parents strive is neither here nor there. I mean, it's not neither here nor there. It's still a terrible thing. I'm sorry. Let's call a spade a spade. It's a terrible thing. However, as far as the halach of the bris is concerned, it's neither here nor there. And you make the bris on Shabbos, come with me. Those are the two shailas that I received this week. Okay? Both, to me, I think, interesting shailas, new shailas that I had not gone into yet. So I'd like to... second one first? Yeah, you want to work with the second one first. Okay, let's work with the second one first. Okay, we're going to work with the second one first. This is why I said this is going to be interactive. So if second one comes first, we'll do second one first. Okay. So let's discuss. There are a few things to be discussed over here, legabi this. First of all, the severity, the thing that we need to figure out is the severity of the din of making the bris bismanoi. So on the one hand, exhibit number one, I'm going to borrow that chumash here.
That shmais. Yeah, it's a shmais. Thank you.
I'm going to read to you a few psukim in Pasha Shmais. Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go back to Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu makes his way down to Mitzrayim. And it says here in Perek Dalet, they were on the way in the hotel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu met up with him and he wanted to kill him. Tzipora took a stone, a rock. Must have been very sharp. And she cut off the oil of her son. And she threw it down to his feet. You are... Some say it's the ato isu goyim that my choshen shali nirtzach olecha. That's how Rashi says it. You were goyim that my husband would have died for this. Oz amra chasan domin namulois. Now the machloikis in the Gemara in the Darim and Aflamad Aleph. Some say, Vayv kishe Hashem ayvaki sham miso is talking about, and that's the normal standard shot. How do we understand? Who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to kill? How do I always understand it? Moshe Rabbeinu. Some say, not Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara, there's another pshat in the Gemara, it's the child. Okay? But according to the Tzadim, that they wanted to kill Moshe Rabbeinu, why are we killing Moshe Rabbeinu? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? So we all know, what was the halacha? He took Eliezer to Mitzrayim, I didn't give him a bris. So he took him to Mitzrayim, he didn't give him a bris, why didn't you give him a bris? So the Gemara already explains, and it's brought over here in Rashi, it's Masech and Adorim, Lamed Aleph and Bebeis. Because he was negligent, he was going to get killed. Tanya Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not how you learn it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, oh, can't be bothered today for the bris. I've had it. People call me up and say, Rabbi, you know, we're ready for the baby on Wednesday. It's not very convenient for everybody. We're making the bris on Sunday. That's Nisrasha B'mila. Because what, the bris is convenient for you to make on Sunday, Wednesday morning is not convenient because people have to go to work. So whoever's going to come is going to come. If they think it's important enough, they come an hour late to work and work an hour later in the evening. And those people who don't think it's important enough to miss work, first of all, they'll miss it. They obviously don't think it's important enough anyway. Not to get into the entire discussion now going on the advertiser about how important it is or it isn't to come to chasanus. And who is and who's not coming on time. It's all, forget it. That's not for now. However, they say no. This is why we're making the bris. We're making the bris on Sunday. So there you have a Nisrasha B'mila. There you can say, that's called Nisrasha B'mila. You can make the bris on Wednesday. Perfectly good. Perfectly fine. The baby's okay. So why aren't you making the bris on Sunday? On Wednesday? Convenience. That's a Nisrasha. What do you mean? You have a chiyuv today to do the bris. We'll see soon, maybe even a chiyuv every minute. So Imkein, why aren't you doing the bris? But Moshe Rabbeinu has a tzad. Moshe Rabbeinu says a different reasoning. He says, "Emoil, I'm going to do a milah. Ve'etzel aderech, I'm going to go out then afterwards for a trip to from Midian to Mitzrayim. Sakoni letina got shloshi yomim. It's a sakona. Omol, I should make the milah ve'esher shloshi yomim. So then, okay, so I'll do the bris milah and I wait 3 days. Hakadosh Baruch Hu tzivanu leich shu Mitzrayim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said leich shu Mitzrayim, which means immediately go now and go to Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll go in 3 days. It's not convenient. I have a bris milah." Kosh Baruch Hu, maybe in 3 days from now we'll meet up again. I'll do what you've asked me to. Aval not. Moshe Rabbeinu says I have to do it immediately. So what does he do? He takes him down without the bris. So Moshe Rabbeinu's got a good chesh. What's the oinish misa that's going on over here? Lefishin is asked with molin tchila. He first was busy with the hotel. Others explain that doesn't mean that nis asim b'molin tchila. But the Mizrahi explains that we're already close to Yerushalayim, close to Mitzrayim. And therefore, even if they did the bris milah there, it wouldn't have been a sakon anymore, because it would have been a few more hours to get to Mitzrayim, and that's not a big deal. You know, we know that people, after the bris milah, you can still take the baby out for a walk. You don't have to keep the baby home quarantined for 4 days till you pass the third day of milah. After the bris milah, if you want to take the baby out for a walk, you take the baby out for a walk. You bundle him up and make sure he's okay, and you go out. So here too, they were quite close to Mitzrayim already. At this point, to do the bris milah wouldn't have been an issue anymore. Because even if you did the bris milah, the amount of travel necessary was minimal. And so therefore, since the amount of travel over there was necessary was minimal, then maybe he should have done the bris first, and because he didn't do the bris, that's called Nisrasha B'milosei. But what we do see over here from this pasuk, and it's brought up by certain Rishonim, is the Chumras Hadavar for the parent not to make the meal of his money. You have over here an instance of a parent that has, and not just Stam a parent, Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't make the bris meal of his money, and it literally almost cost him his life. And if not for Tzipora, his wife saving his life, finished. You say, but what are we doing? What are we doing in the Torah without Moshe Rabbeinu? No Kriyas Yamsuf, no Makkas, no Mon, no Be'er, no nothing taking there, no Yerida Satira. Bris Mila, he didn't do the Bris Mila when he's supposed to. Ad Kerekach. Meiduch, what do we hold in Halacha? So there's actually a machloikis in Halacha, the Gabe, the Chumras Hadavar, how Chomer it is. If you look in Hilchas Mila, in the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, A meal is a mitzvah saseh shechayom al koris. One of the few. There's only two, actually. Two mitzvahs saseh shechayom koris. One's meal, one's Pesach. Right? Shenem avar azoch ha-shalim ha-vesal. Also, in nichus ha-nefesh ha-hi ma'amah. U-mitzvah al-av lomas benoy. There's a mitzvah for the father to mal his child al arav lomal his kol avodov, and an owner has to mal all his avodim, yelid bayis u'miknas kesef. Whether they were born in his household or whether he bought them, either way, he needs to give a bris milah to all of them. Ovar avo odoin v'loi mal oison. If the father or the master did an avera and he did not give him a bris milah, botel mitzvahs asei. He's betel mitzvahs asei. Ve'enoi chayv karis. However, the halacha is there's no kares for the father or for the master. She'ena kares toloi elabar al atzmai. The kares is connected to the child who's the oral. Only the kares is not a separate thing. Ubeisin mitzuvin lomul es oisei haben oya even bismanoi bez navetzivoy. If the father says I'm not going to be mal this child until next week or 2 weeks from now because it's more convenient, bez navachiyuv to step in and to do a bris mila instead. And you shouldn't leave around a boy, a child who's an oral, not amongst the Jewish people, and not amongst their avodim. Then he continues. You cannot just walk over to a person and say, you know what, I'm a moil. You know, there's some young moilim out there. I have friends of mine that became moilim, and they get come out no brisim. Very, very few. The only young moyer that has a lot of brisson is Yaakov Eber that I mentioned before. He's yashning brisson from his father. But a lot of the other young people that are doing milas, I'll tell you, 2, 3, 4 milas in the last 3, 4 years they've been practicing. Here, there, they whether they have their own children, there's a reason to have your own child, or whether Mishpacha feels bad asking another moyer when I have a brother-in-law that's a moyer, so they ask them. But in general, they get very, very few bris milas. So Yana Moyer says, I get no bris milas. You know what I'm going to do? Yankel had a child. He left him lying out in Broughton Park when nobody's looking. I'll go over. I'll do the bris milah. When no one's looking, he'll come back. He's not doing it on the eighth day anyway. So I'll grab his milah from him. So halacha is, it's also you cannot take away a milah from someone unless the person doesn't want to give him. Then the bezin are mal bal kochay. But you can't decide that you want to do somebody else's bris milah. Nisalmi bezin. If bezin also somehow weren't able to do it, and they weren't malim, which happens nowadays when you have nebuch children that grow up with parents that didn't want to give them a milah, for whatever reason, modern reason, genital mutilation, and how could you do such a terrible thing to a child, etc., etc. Nebuch, the child grows up without a bris milah, a Yiddish kind. So now he's old enough to make his old decisions. So then, when he gets older, hu chayav lomas atzmai. When he gets older, this boy or young man now needs to mal himself. And now the Rambam comes through with a very strong thing. V'chol yoyim v'yoyim shiyava olam shiyagdi v'liyimas atzmai harem avatalit mitzvah saseh. Every day that he doesn't do the milah, nevatal mitzvah saseh. Avol einoi chayv kares atche yomus v'u oral b'mezid. He's not chayv kares until he dies and he's an oral. Okay? Now, there are those that ask the question on the Rambam before we even get to the Ravid. What in the world does that mean? Somebody once asked a similar question. He said, a person who kills himself, I raise him is chayv nafshe. Well, it's too late now. You can't say, if you committed suicide, I raise him is chayv nafshe. If you weren't dead already, we'd kill you again. Well, shkoyach. Can't really do that. That doesn't make any sense. So what does karis mean? Karis means that the guy's going to die early. Well, he died already. So if he died without a bris, he'll have karis. Karis of what? So hey, there are those that explain, it's interesting, I can't remember where I saw it yesterday, but I saw those that, maybe the Aruch HaShulchan, he says, but I think it's the Aruch HaShulchan over there, he says, look around, and a lot of the things that we say get kares, we know people that are oyvei yisurei kares, whether you know people that are not, that are, don't keep Shabbos, or they don't keep Taras HaMishpacha, or whatever it is, these are yisurei kares, and you know they're yisurei kares, there's no shaila, and there's no shaila that they don't keep these things, and the oyvei yisurim, yoim yoim. And you see, they live 80, 90, 100, they're long lives. Where's the kares? Sometimes you look even, you say, Rabbi Shalom, that doesn't make sense. On the other hand, there needs to be a certain amount of Bechira Chavshis. If you saw every person that's Oiva Averis of kares at 59 and 363 days, they all drop dead, you know, people start getting the message. So he says, kares is a multi-level process. It's not a one-off process. Everybody dies at this point. There are certain things that happen here. There are certain things that happen in Shemayim. And so therefore, even if you say, if he dies, he'll get kares, it means, not that he's going to die early. He's dead. You can't say he's going to die early now. What you're going to say is, but in Shemayim, they'll have a certain processing that they're going to do with him that's going to be different than everybody else. Chas v'shalom. So that's the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam's opinion is, every day he's over a mitzvah saseh, and when it comes to the fact that he never did the bris milah, chas v'shalom, he's nifter without doing a bris, then he gets karis. The Ravid right away jumps on this and he says, Om Avram, ein bazet tavlin. Right away he has to give you a bit of a... First, we'll start with a shtech. Ein bazet tavlin. It makes no sense. It's got no taste to it. No gishmak. V'chim yishum asra sofik poitronoisi min ha-shamayim v'chol yoyim oimer b'sakareis. So they learn that the Ravid is lav nafka. But let's read the Ravid dafka and then we'll explain the Ravid is really lav nafka. The Ravid says, well, there's asra sofik here. Why is Asra Sofik? Anytime I come to the guy and I say, if you're not going to do a bris, then you're going to get kares. I'm still around. I can do it tonight. I can do it tomorrow. Well, I can't do it tonight. Can't do it at night. I can do it tomorrow. I can do it in an hour's time. Who says I need to do it now? So every time you give him Asra, I always have an excuse to say, I'll do it later. It's impossible to be mitzamtzim to give a person Asra within 3 seconds before he dies. That doesn't work either. Same Cain, it's always Asra Sofik. So says the Raiva, what, Hasra Sofik gives you a reason why it's a problem? He says, Klapi Shmaya Galia, Shlamayim doesn't need Hasros. Anyway, when it comes to Kares, the Kosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, oh, he didn't get Hasros, so he's not going to get Kares. Kares is Kares, and the bunch of them takes it seriously. Elamai says the Raiva, it is a different halacha. The halacha is, Kol Yoim Oimim Issa Kares. He has been over an Issa that carries with it the punishment of Kares. There's only a way out. The way out is, if the person then does the bris milah chveis further down the line, so at 13 he didn't do a bris for himself, and at 25 suddenly he decides he's going to have a bris, and he has a bris at age 25, then he's been misakin the problem that he did, and with that he takes away the din kares that's hovering over him. But the isurim that he did, and the chumras ha-isur that he has of it being an isur kares, starts already from day one that he didn't do the bris milah. It's just he has a chance to fix it. It's almost. I'm sorry?
Is he from day one, from when he's 13?
From day one when he has a chiyuv that comes upon him, I mean. From, yeah, yeah. Not when he's a child. You know, he's not, you know, nobody's going to give him Issa Kares as an 8-day-old baby. He can't really arrange this on his own. Yeah? Even as a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, they can't arrange this on their own. It's when they have the kerach to be able to arrange their own bris, be able to do things on their own. And they weren't able to do it from that point on, and when the chiyuv kicks in for that person, that's what I mean day one. Day one from when the chiyuv kicks in for that person, there they have an Issa Kares, and every day they have an Issa Kares. Okay? However, what we see over here, even though we saw this whole pasuk with Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a tremendous amount of kitrig against him. So much so that they were going to kill Moshe Rabbeinu for not doing a bris bizmanoi, lehalocha lemaisa. As far as the parents are concerned, as far as the child is concerned, it's only when he becomes an adult, etc., etc. As far as the parents are concerned, it's only a bitul asei. So if it's only a bitul asei, so should we just say, you know, hakim yuchal shabbos and a bitul, you know, for them, where's the heter? So I spoke to Dienberger about this, and this seems to be the normative psak. The normative psak in these instances seems to be the following. If the parents themselves, because Dienberger said to me, the parents themselves are even isser every day, and some say every second that they procrastinate not bringing the bris when they could have done it. So if the parents themselves decide that they will be Mechal Shabbos, there's no way. So what happened on Friday is the Moel said to them, and said, listen, you live in Ratcliffe. I'm telling you now, if you make the bris, if you come from Ratcliffe to Prestridge and you're not staying in Prestridge, the rabbi and I are not coming to this bris. No bris. So we stared them down, and they said, okay, we're staying in Prestridge. And they stayed in Prestridge, Taka. Yeah, saw them in Prestridge, saw them in, bright and early, they came with the other, with the Shver. He came in with the Shver to Davening at 9:15. They always come, the Shver always comes at 9:15. He came in, they were there right away from the beginning. He had stayed there, so Kol hakavod. However, if so, there already we know that the couple is not going to be mechal Shabbos. If the couple is not going to be mechal Shabbos, you can make a bris. If the couple is going to be mechal Shabbos, so then even though there's a din bitul asay, we still say okay. There's a bitul asay for the parents. However, put that against the tons of chilulei Shabbos that are going to happen with them driving and probably using phones and whatever else they're going to do. That is much, much more chomer. And therefore, when you're faced with the choice whether to make the milah bizmanoi or whether not to make the milah bizmanoi, what you should do is tell them if you're going to drive, the milah is going to be on Sunday. Sorry. And the parents have lost out on their mitzvah milah bizmanoi. And only if they're not going to drive in the Nakim Mechal Shabbos, only then can you make the milah bizmanoi. There's a corollary to this, which is what I saw yesterday. So we had the bris yesterday in the end. But with the bris came a lot of visitors. And so, I don't know if we call it Zaitigi Chilul Shabbos, however you want to call it, not to minimize Chas V'Shalom one iota in the Chilul Shabbos that's going on. However, what you have is, you walk, it's sad somehow, you know when there's an English function on because you just see one nice new car after the other, they're parked up. You can tell sometimes when there's the certain crowds that have a certain status, and by everyone they have as they're part of the car is part of the status, and you know already there's a simcha. That's part of a larger discussion of being ostentatious in the Golos. So I'm sure that when you have the waiters and waitresses that show up to chasanus and they see one Jag after a Lexus after a Mercedes, one after the other, they must think we Jews own this country. Yeah? So there's what to be said for that also. However, you show up to the bris and you see cars parked up one after the other. You come to the door and there's people checking their phones. There's people, the chilul Shabbos outside in shul, Baruch Hashem, it's still a little bit more, there's still a little bit more busha. People still have a certain amount of busha. They're not willing to go out. They're not willing, some people will clandestinely try to pull out the phones to see, to check their messages, etc., etc. But in general, I found that most people are more or less respectful in shul. The sensitivity that has been lost is the parking outside of shul. So it used to be people used to park far away. There was at least a sensitivity where people said, it's Pasach Nish, that I'm going to mamish in front of shul, I should park up. Now even young people, forget about old people. Old people will say, well, I can't walk, so I can't park around the corner. Young people, they park smack in front of the shul, they come out, no busha whatsoever. It's a shame. This is where we're at, sadly. To understand what Yiddishkeit looks like for certain people. Or what it doesn't look like for certain people, maybe more correctly. So, there's mass Chilul Shabbos going on. So much so, there was a person who was standing behind me. And we hear, Baruch haba, Baruch hanim, v'shmoyne, asher tivchav, etc., etc. He's going on about the bris. And the guy behind me, I hear his phone starting up. I have the same phone, so I know how it starts up. I know the sound that it makes. So it's already getting me nervous, but I'm hoping to myself, at least, I hope he's got a little bit of seichel. The bris, the fellow pulls out his phone, he starts taking pictures. I said, excuse me, it's Shabbos, put that away now. So Baruch Hashem, he listened to me, he put it away, he looked quite chastised and quite upset that I told him off. But, there was no way we were going to have a bris with pictures on Shabbos. There's a limit. So I said to Diane Berger last night, I said, what about all the Zaitike Chilul Shabbos? Meaning by creating this bris, by letting the bris happen on Shabbos, there's going to be tens of Yidden that are never going to be driving on Shabbos to come to your Simcha. Pardon? That's an interesting question. Mechal Shabbos anyway. That question comes up in the same guys. Comes up when you invite people to your house for Shabbos. So you say, I've even heard people say that. People say the following. People say, let me invite somebody to my house for Shabbos on Friday night, at least for 3 hours when they're sitting at my house and not Mechal Shabbos. So what, they drove to me. But if they were home, they do 10 times as much Chilul Shabbos. I'm sorry? Yeah, but I'm saying even without giving the option, you can make a cheshbon and say, if I leave a non-frum person to their own devices for 4 hours on Shabbos, the amount of Chilul Shabbos that's going on over there is unreal. Okay? Because it doesn't register. It's not like I'm going to be Mechal Shabbos now. It doesn't even register. You drive because you drive on Shabbos because it's a day like every other day. You have to go to shul sometimes, you have to do other things. You watch television, you pull out your mobile phone. It's all hefker. Nasa like a hetter. He comes to my house, he's going to sit in my house. It's not going to be Mechal Shabbos in my house. So I've saved him from 3 hours of Chilul Shabbos. Yeah, maybe he's going to drive afterwards, he's going to drive back home. But for 3 hours he's done nothing. Yeah? But here you're inviting people over. People that are, so by making this bris, you're going to create a situation where all these chaver are going to be mechalo Shabbos to come and to watch the bris. With their phones, maybe want to take pictures and videos and who knows what else. And who said you should have a bris bismane, but the parents should be mekayim and asay, and that asay should cause mass chilul Shabbos. Who allowed you as the parents maybe to make a bris, and who allows us maybe to sanction such a bris? We should say, I know that all of your friends are coming by car tomorrow. And I know that all your friends are coming with mobiles, and we are not sanctioning such a bris. We're not going to have that. So speaking to Rabbi Walker before, Rabbi Walker said to me, he says, with that svara, sadly, you know, you could shut down certain shuls. Yeah? You can manage that, because if certain shuls, Baruch Hashem, our shuls, mainly people that walk, and it's only when we have simchas from vayt to people that everybody comes with, you know, in that oifen to the shul. But without that, in general, most people don't drive to shul by us on Shabbos. But there are certain shuls that are far out where it's standard, where most people are driving to shul. Lighter, that's the story. Says, well, maybe you should shut down the shul. They say, you know what, the shul is a shul, Mechalei Shabbos, Kol Tov, no more davening. So Dine Berger said to me, he said, if the actual couple is being Mekayim the Halacha, if the actual couple themselves are not going to be Mechal Shabbos, so that means, and in this instance they did, they stayed in Prestwich, so they weren't going to be Mechal Shabbos. The fact that they have friends that are going to come anyway, we are not going to, that's the psak they gave me, we're not going to take away the schus of the parent and the schus of the child of having a bris bismanoi because they have friends that don't know what to do. So they halitele yoshem yomus. Sorry. They will come, they will drive, they'll do whatever they want to, and we are still going to go ahead with the bris. If the parents themselves are going to be mechalel Shabbos, so there you say, we don't sanction chilul Shabbos in that oifen, and there we draw the line, and then we don't make the bris on Shabbos. So that's the bottom line of the psak. If the parents are going to be shomer Shabbos, even if it will cause chilul Shabbos to other people, you can still make the bris bismana, and you should make the bris bismana. Right? If you know, or are fairly certain, that the parents are not going to keep Shabbos, and they're going to be, not that they're not going to keep Shabbos, but they're going to be mechal Shabbos in order for you to be able to do this bris, because other chilul Shabbos, they might still do other chilul Shabbos. The fact that they stayed in Prestwich doesn't mean that they weren't mechal Shabbos in other ways. They probably were. But for the bris, they weren't mechal Shabbos. If, as far as the bris is concerned, they're not mechal Shabbos, then the halacha is you make the bris bismanoi, even, you know, even if it's going to cause other people mechal Shabbos.
So what the guarantee you have, you know, they're going to...
I'm sorry?
What's the guarantee you have?
Yeah.
I don't have a guarantee.
No, okay, you're right, I don't have a guarantee. But I'll tell you what, if they're staying at home in Ratcliffe, I know they're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Nobody's walking from Ratcliffe to Prestwich for a bris. And even if they did, how do you walk with a baby? There's no Eruv. Yeah? Even if you keep the Eruv, but there's no Eruv in Ratcliffe, and there's no Eruv between Whitefield and Prestwich. So there's no Shaila that's a problem. Yeah?
So the baby if, has to be bris.
Pardon?
You have to have a bris, you know, the baby.
When? You make it on Sunday. No, the baby will get a bris on Sunday. I will not allow a bris on Shabbos.
You have this reason to see these people that go on the Shmur Shabbat.
Pardon?
You,
yes.
See, they go on the Shmur Shabbat, no?
We're going to what?
If they go on the Shmur Shabbat, you're going to do the bris.
If they're going to be Shomer Shabbat, yeah. But we don't have a guarantee, but I need to know at least, I need to know at least that it's possible. They stayed in Prestwich, now it's possible. The bris was in Prestwich, they stayed in Prestwich, it's possible Shomer Shabbos. Beyond that, my hands are tied. You're right. You know, I can't follow them 24/7. Yeah? But at least I've created a situation where it will happen in a certain oifen. But if I know for certain that in Michal Shabbos, there's no Shaila, then you cannot have the bris on Shabbos. Yeah? No, there was no chashash. These are people that I know. If we didn't, all you had to say to them, listen, we can't do the bris on Shabbos, we're doing it on Sunday. They're doing it on Sunday. Sunday's probably more convenient for them anyway. Yeah? So they will do it on Sunday. That wasn't the shaila. You know what? Again, I think what's good, you know, it's an interesting shaila because in your day they bring that about making a bris on Shabbos about someone. If you don't know, the person will ever get another chance to have a bris on Shabbos. But lemaisa, I think that we would say, you know, we don't have to go ahead and sanction chilul Shabbos because you're going to, you know, sometimes people say, this is the only way I'm willing to do it. Well, if you're not willing to do it, you're not willing to do it, then I'm not going to chase after you. This is your mitzvah, this is your chiyuv for your child. Don't make me meshuggah about what is convenient, what is not convenient for you. You want a bris milah, this is how we'll do it. You don't want a bris milah, you can go. I don't have to take responsibility like that. If somebody's going to start being difficult and saying, it's either my way or the highway, then go on the highway. Sorry. You know, we. But I found in this instance, I saw that because we were willing to say, unless you stay in Prestwich, we're not doing the bris, guess what? They stayed in Prestwich. You push them against the wall, if they want it enough, they'll do it. If they don't want it enough, fine, so they'll do it on Sunday. Then it shows us that you didn't want the bris so badly on Shabbos anyway, so big deal, so we'll do it on Sunday. I'm not having a Mechal Shabbos on my Cheshbon. Yeah? So we won't get to the second Shabbos, but I think what is important to still mention over here is, coming up, you know, to the Shabbos project. This wasn't planned for the Shabbos project, but just if you hear what's going on, Nebuch, Acheinu Bnei Yisrael, down the road, that Shabbos has become Kilay Hoya. And at least if we're Mechazik Shabbos, maybe the Chizik in our Shabbos can rub up on them. As Rabbi Saul Salanta said, if you are Shomer Mitzvah here, a Yin in Paris doesn't do an Avera. That's what he said about Vilna and about Paris. So if it's Vilna and Paris, if you're Shomer Shabbos in Broughton Park, why can't it make a difference to somebody in Whitefield? It can. And you take on, you know, and all of our Shomer Shabbos is something we can take on. There's something small, there's something big, whatever you want to do. I'm a little nisrashal on this. There's this I don't do correctly. Maybe I could learn a little bit more Hilchah Shabbos, whatever it is. But when we get a better understanding of Hilchah Shabbos and we get a better feel for Hilchah Shabbos, and when we're Shomer Shabbos kedarkoi and Shomer Shabbos with hakpoda on halacha, it then ends up having a knock-on effect on other people. You never know what your Shomer Shabbos can do. So, Mr. Hashem, we shouldn't hear of such shailas, but I'm glad that we're able to discuss it today. Anybody saying Kaddish? Rabbi Chananel ben Akash, Shomitz Gosh, Boch HaZak Yisrael, Levichach, Hirbo Lan Taimitz HaShenema, Adenoi Chofetz Haman Zikoi, Yagnit Toyo V'Yadir. Amen. Amen.